You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 1, where we left off last time. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Before we begin, I want to invite every member of the body of Christ in the United States of America to join me on this same broadcast on Saturday, July 4th, 9 a.m., for America's Day of Repentance. We're going to pray 2 Chronicles 7:14 and ask God to heal our land. Prayer warriors are still invited to join me each Wednesday, 6 p.m., for anointed prayer for President Trump and for America, and you're also invited to come on Sundays at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast. I am in Suntree, Florida, right beside the produce place. The produce place is on Wickham Road. You'll see a sign right there, and I'm right there, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, the great book of Acts, chapter 2. The title of this chapter is the Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Every great and good gift comes down from our Father of lights. Everything is good He gives, but there are three gifts that He has given to us that are awesome. There's no way to describe how great they are. The first is He has redeemed us, redemption. God sent His only begotten Son to redeem us from the curse of the law, which was death. He died in our place. He defeated death. And Jesus is the living Word. The second gift is that Jesus said His Word is spirit and life. So He put Himself, the Word, in a book, and we call it the Bible. And it's an instruction book from the time we come here all the way throughout eternity. But the third gift is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Without it, you do not know how to pray. You do not know how to teach. You do not know how to go in or go out. You do not know how to live the Christian life. You can be saved by Jesus. You can have the Bible in your hand, but you're like the most beautiful, perfect, expensive car in the world. You're sitting in it. It won't go because you have no gas in it. In other words, the Holy Spirit is a baptism. And a baptism means total immersion. Water is total immersion. Down we go. We believe Jesus died. Up we come. He arose from the dead. But the second baptism every Christian needs, which empowers you to live the Christian life, you have no power without it, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives all kinds of gifts. You can read them throughout the Bible, and they are awesome. You actually begin to live a supernatural life. The Holy Spirit is God Himself. God is a spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus, who is Emmanuel, God with us. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God the Father. And Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So the Holy Spirit is God. And when that Holy Spirit touches you, that's not a spook, that's not a ghost, that is Almighty God. Amen. Now, last week, Jesus had told His 12 disciples, apostles now, called sent ones, to go into the upper room and wait for the promise of the Father, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we pick up the curtain here tonight. Curtain goes up. The 12 apostles are in the upper room waiting for the promise of the Father, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They do not know what it is.
Verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come,
Okay, now Pentecost is 50 days after Passover. And Passover is when Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. In other words, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, 50 days later, is the Feast of Pentecost.
All with one accord in one place.
All right, there they were in the upper room, one accord. Why were they in one accord? Because they had no schisms. They had no denominations. They had no books and no quarterlies. They had no traditions of men to make void the word of God. They had one thing, the word of God, Jesus and what he had told them. And they were one accord. Now, why were they waiting so patiently? Because Jesus says, you can't even go into the kingdom of God unless you become like a child. A child says, all right, mama, all right, daddy, I trust you, I'll do what you say. Jesus had told them they were going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They didn't know what it meant, but like a child, they trusted. And the only way you will ever have the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to stop being know-it-all, yield like a child, and receive it, and you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. They were ready.
Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind.
All right, the wind in the manuscripts is Ruach. The Holy Spirit in the Hebrew is Holy Ruach, a rushing mighty wind. It's actually an air. I had been saved quite some time. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I had been asking for it. It happened suddenly. And there was this beautiful, cool, refreshing wind that went through my vocal cords, through my throat. It was the most refreshing thing I'd ever known. And immediately, the language of the Holy Spirit came through me. That was the baptism. He is a holy Ruach wind. He's a spirit.
And it filled all the house where they were sitting. 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them.
All right. The word cloven here means to distribute. Tongue means a language, but it's the language of God, and fire is God. Hebrews 12:29, God is a consuming fire, Holy Spirit is God. So this whoosh comes in, whoosh, hallelujah, the cool air of God, the Ruach, and the Holy Spirit, the fire, distributes a language to all 12 of the apostles, and it sat upon them. Why did it sit upon them? Because to be baptized, you have to be immersed. In other words, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit came and lived in your heart. But most of you have never been immersed. That means it's got to start up here, sit upon you, and just flood through you like rivers of living water. So it's ready to do that. Are you ready?
Amen.
Are you ready?
Yes.
4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit.
All right. He starts pouring through them. This is the 12 apostles.
And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Tongues is languages. They began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I love that word utterance because God has a remnant of the elect. We studied this in Revelation 12. Who did not betray God in the first earth age and were in the spirit body. They have been sent out in every generation to proclaim the oracles of God. The oracles means utterances of God. And Paul tells us in Romans 8:26, you don't know how to pray as you ought, but the Holy Spirit will intervene for through you with groanings which cannot be uttered. All right. So the Holy Spirit utters. All right. So the Holy Spirit speaking. Now, it's not the person doing gibberish. It's the Holy Spirit speaking. Know the difference.
5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, Eudas.
All right. I said Eudas on purpose because Jews is a wrong word. I wish they wouldn't say that. They mean well. It really should be Eudas. It means either our dearly beloved brother Judah, whom we love very much, or a resident of Judea.
Devout men.
So most of these were of the tribe of Judah, the Judah brotherhood.
Out of every nation under heaven.
However, they had visitors there. We learned last week there were 120 other people there, all kinds of nations there, speaking in different languages. Wow.
Verse 6. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded.
All right. Now, the gossip went around, hey, these 12 apostles are speaking. We can all hear them in our language. So then multitudes start coming in there. And not all of those were so devout, but everybody wanted to see, what is this? We've never heard anybody speak so that everybody could understand the language.
Because that every man heard them speak in his own language.
Wow.
7.
Now, do you think that should be strange? You know, God created all of us. Don't you think he knows our language? And I can tell you, when you're praying for someone, don't pray that Susie will talk to them or Johnny will talk to them. Ask the Holy Spirit will talk to them, because the Holy Spirit knows how to convict. He knows how to get the heart's attention. He knows your language, people.
They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, are not all these which speak Galileans?
They kind of looked down on the Galileans. They thought they were country bumpkins. How could they have the knowledge to speak all these languages? However, Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And the Bible says the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. Nobody's smart until they got Jesus, the Bible, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because the baptism of the Holy Spirit guides you into all truth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's smart. Smarter than your smartphone.
8. And how hear we every man in his own tongue wherein we were born? 9. Parthians.
All right, that would be India. He's going to name some of them.
Medes. Elamites.
Okay, that would be some places there in the middle of India. And one of those names means eternity. They've been there a long time. India, that area.
And the dwellers in Mesopotamia.
Turkey.
And in Judea.
All right, that's Judea, the Judeans.
Cappadocia.
All right, that would be, Turkey.
And Pontus, Asia.
Cappadocia is Asia. That is Asia Minor.
10. Phrygia. Pamphylia.
That's Libya, Africa.
In Egypt.
Egypt.
In the parts of Libya.
All right, that's Africa.
Cyrene. And strangers in Rome.
Rome.
Eudas.
Judah.
Lights. 11. Cretes and Arabians.
All right, that would be the Greek and the Arabs.
Would you hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God?
Now, all of those, every language was there, and everybody heard what they said. What the Holy Spirit spoke through the 12 apostles was the wonderful works of God. Works is from a Greek to the Hebrew word, debar, which means to talk, tell, say, speak. So it means word. Whatever the Holy Spirit spoke, it was the word of God. Now, when the Antichrist appears very soon, some of God's elect are going to be delivered up to him. And Jesus tells us in Luke 12, Mark 13, other places, elect, this time, don't premeditate what you're going to say. But the Holy Spirit will speak through you. And when the Holy Spirit speaks through the elect, it says the gospel will be preached in the whole world. The Holy Spirit will speak whatever he wants to, which are probably going to be the word of God, and everybody in the world will understand it through the elect in their own language. Look at that.
Amen. 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? 13. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine.
These men are drunk.
14.
Now, you know, it's not only the world that calls people with a baptism drunk or strange. Very few Christians have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you think it's so strange when you hear another language. No, it's strange you don't have it. All you have to do is get off the throne, yield and ask. And if you will be humble enough, you will receive it. It is not gibberish, it is the language of God. Then you will know how to pray. You'll know how to lay hands on the sick and they recover. You will operate the 9 gifts of Holy Spirit. You will live a powerful life. You will be some good instead of watching the show. The Holy Spirit is not strange. It's strange that a Christian would not have it when it's one of the greatest gifts next to Jesus ever given. It empowers you to live the Christian life. You receive power after that the Holy Spirit's come upon you. and he gives you power over all the power of the enemy. How strange that you would not cry and fast and pray for it. I wouldn't go to sleep tonight unless I had it, Christian. It's necessary.
But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said...
Now, in the Greek manuscripts, when Peter stood up, it says, Peter lifted up his voice and uttered, there it is, uttered by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, remember last week, Peter had stood up. He was a good man, and he got the 12th apostles selected. But now... it is not Peter that speaks. I am myself do nothing. The Father within, he doeth the work. The Holy Spirit is now going to preach the word of God through the first preacher of the first church. Don't ever do anything. Don't pray. Don't teach. Don't witness until first the Holy Spirit takes over. And then he will do it perfectly through you. And you will always have the victory.
Amen.
And to them, you men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words.
Hear what I'm about to say, he says. Now, he's going to teach from the Bible. Jesus would have taught the apostles all of the Torah, the Old Testament Psalms and everything.
15. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the...
Peter says it's just 9 o'clock. On a feast days, Pentecost was a feast. They couldn't get drunk until 12 noon. But they could get drunk at 9 a.m.
Day 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel.
He is now quoting Joel chapter 2. Now, what he's going to do is actually quote it. The next verses are from Joel 2, but for homework, you might like to read it. Now, I want to explain something. Peter knows that it's not the end because he's got to build the church and all of that. But he does know that the Holy Spirit that just filled that place is the same Holy Spirit that Joel in chapter 2 is talking about. In Joel, he's talking about the Holy Spirit anointing coming on the elect at the end time. But what Peter's going to say, the same thing all of you have just witnessed is the same Holy Spirit that Joel says is going to pour out on the sons and daughters, the elect, at the end time. In other words, Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, say
Joel said the last days, so he's talking about our time here, the last days.
God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy.
An anointed speaker filled with the Holy Spirit, sons and daughters, women included.
And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams.
The baptism of the Holy Spirit gives you the tongue of the learned, the word of wisdom, the lips of knowledge. And the Holy Spirit will show you revelations and visions of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit baptism will give you dreams. It's not spaghetti. I mean, I have that. I've had it from a child. God dreams. My mother called me a dream child. She didn't mean I was so great. She just meant I dreamed things from God. In other words, this is all the Holy Spirit. And it's available to every one of you. You have not because you ask not. And you only ask once and you don't really realize how important it is. You're going on and you're dead. Life without the power turned on.
18. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days my spirit, they shall prophesy.
All right. Now, Peter is quoting Joel, and Joel is talking about what I just told you, when the elect are delivered up, the soon coming Antichrist. Thank God his time has been shortened for the elect's sake, Mark 13 and Revelation 9. Instead of 7 years, Daniel, it's been shortened to 5 months, and he only really has half of that, 2.5 months. But the elect are going to be delivered up. And again, the elect are to allow Holy Spirit to speak through us, and he will speak, the whole world will hear. Jesus says, and then the gospel shall be preached in all the world. Now, don't you want to be one of those?
Yes.
And guess who pays for it? The devil. The Antichrist. I have to pay for my airtime now, but the devil will have to pay for that. I hope I'm one. I sure do. I hope you're one. Okay. So he's prophesying that.
19. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. blood and fire and vapors of smoke. 20. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood.
Joel, in Joel 2, is actually teaching the same thing I just taught you in Revelation. Remember that when the Antichrist comes, he's instead of Christ. He's going to look like Christ. People will think he's Jesus, two horns of a lamb, but he's the voice of a dragon. He's really the devil with his Jesus costume on. But he's coming with fire and smoke. In other words, it's not the real fire. Hebrews 12:29, God is a consuming fire, but it's a strange fire, fake fire, zur, false fire. In other words, the devil pretending to be Jesus is the fake fire. And the smoke is his angels, his ministering spirits, his ministering angels are going to be blowing hot smoke. Now, what about the sun darkened? That means there's very little truth right now. See, we are at the time Joel prophesied, and Peter's teaching of that. There's very little truth. You can hardly find even a Christian who knows of the three earth and heaven ages, of the seduction in the garden, of the order of the trumps. In other words, very little truth, some here and there. What about the moon turned to blood? I taught you that in Revelation. All prophecies in the Bible about the moon are of the devil. So we learned in Revelation 12 that Michael the archangel is going to cast Lucifer, who is the devil, the dragon, out of heaven. He's coming in the sky, the moon, and he's coming to earth with men, human beings, with blood coursing in your veins. So Joel is prophesying of the rich anointing of the Holy Spirit of the elect at these end times, which is right now. And Peter's saying, this has happened to us. It's what Joel's talking about. Understand?
Yes.
Before that great and notable day of the Lord come.
The second coming of Jesus. Santa Christ comes at 6th trump. Jesus comes at 7.
21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Peter is still quoting from Joel 2. When the elect are delivered up and the whole world hears us speak and they realize they've been had. Remember Matthew 25 says half of the body of Christ is going to worship the devil. He's going to look like Jesus. He'll say peace and safety, cause craft to prosper, have a big revival in the church, be sweet and nice. If you don't know the Bible, you would go to him. And so what's going to happen? They're going to worship him. But when the elect speaks, some of those Christians will suddenly realize, oh my God, I've gone to the marriage supper of the lion, the fake lion, the serpent, instead of the marriage of the lamb. And they're going to run away. If the Christians repent and ask forgiveness before they do the body change, when Jesus comes at the 7th, they would be saved. So see, I mean, right up until Jesus comes, the elect are going to be still preaching the gospel. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know.
Many of you know about these miracles. You saw the lepers cleansed. You saw Lazarus raised from the dead. You saw the multitudes fed. You saw the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. Oh, you saw these miracles. You saw him walk on the water.
23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel.
All right. Jesus was delivered by the determinate counsel. That's the phony, baloney, plastic banana, good time rock and roller, as Rush Limbaugh says. The fake scribes and Pharisees, the children of the devil, they are the ones who got him delivered up to have to be crucified. It was not our brother Judah. Those fake ones say they are Judah, but they are not. They are the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9.
And the foreknowledge of God.
Now, God knew all about this. God ordained that his son would die. And, of course, we learned that in Psalm 22, the Song of the Lamb, Jesus teaching from the cross. And, of course, he did die on the cross. He came to pay our sin debt, but that was God's plan. He was the only perfect one to pay our sin debt, so he bailed us out. He died in our stead. God knew it. God planned it. He came to die.
Have taken and by wicked hands and crucified and slain.
You notice that Peter did not say Judas did it. Remember last time we studied, when Judas actually saw that they were really going to kill Jesus, he didn't think he was going to die. He thought he would just raise up and take over the kingdom now so Judas could be the secretary of the treasurer. Judas said, I have sinned. I've betrayed an innocent man. And he repented. What you have to do to get saved? Confess your sins, repent. If you're faithful and just to confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive your sins. So Peter also had betrayed God, but everybody else has betrayed the Lord too. You've betrayed him, I've betrayed him, we've all betrayed him. Because when you don't speak up for him and when you don't live for him, you're betraying him. You know better and you're not living a full Christian life. You're still loving your fun too much instead of giving up yourself and letting him get on the throne. So he betrayed him. So Peter did not blame him. Who is the wicked one? The wicked one is the devil himself, and it was his children, the Kenites, descendants of Cain, the child of the devil, that said, crucify him, crucify him.
24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it.
Jesus took the stinger out of death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? God raised Jesus from the dead. I mean, he arose, he arose, he arose, says Peter.
Yeah. 25. For David speaketh concerning him.
Okay, now he's going to quote David. He goes from Joel, he's going to talk David. This would be Psalm 16, written by David.
For so the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved.
David prophesied over 1,000 years ago that when Jesus ascended back to heaven, he would sit down at the throne on the right hand of God. He'll not be moved. Why is that? Because his work was finished. You know how you say, it's done, I'm finished, it is finished. He finished the work. He paid the sin debt. It's up to you to accept it.
26. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also shall my flesh rest in hope.
David writes there and says, oh my goodness, I have hope after the flesh dies. Remember, you're not your flesh. You are a spirit and you have a soul. You live in a flesh body. It's your envelope. But in other words, even if your flesh dies, you still have hope.
27. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell.
Okay, Christ in me, my hope of glory. Now, hell. There's actually not the lake of fire yet. It won't come into existence until after the great white throne judgment at the end of the millennium, as prepared for the devil and his angels. However, now when everybody dies, they go back to paradise to be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. Luke 16. The saved are on one side, the good side, but the lost on the other side. They're not in fire, but hell would be to know you did not make it. Now, this same Peter wrote two books, 1 Peter, 2 Peter. And in 1 Peter chapter 3 and 1 Peter chapter 4, he says that when Jesus gave up the ghost, he said, it is finished, that Jesus went into paradise and preached to those lost souls on the bad side. Let's say Jesus went to hell. And he preached them, hey, I paid your sin debt. Would you like to be free? And he set the captive free. Hallelujah. Amen. In other words, he didn't leave their soul in hell. So this is the great good news. Jesus was busy. While everybody was bemoaning him, he was busy.
Neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption.
Now, you know, Jesus never did really need a flesh body. He's God. God is a spirit. But his body was transfigured. Remember the Mount of Transfiguration? Jesus' body never did decompose like human beings do. Again, you're not your flesh, but if you die before Jesus comes, your spirit goes back to God, but your body kind of begins to decompose. Jesus never did. He was transfigured. Why was that? Because he wanted to show his apostles and others that he had arisen from the dead, and he showed them 40 days. All right. So this is proof that he arose from the dead.
28. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life.
David says he actually gave us eternal life. Remember on Psalm 22, Jesus says, I am going to, your heart shall live forever. I'm giving you eternal life. David's really preaching there in Psalm 16, and Peter's preaching David what David's preaching. David is really saying, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen. Be full of joy with thy countenance.
And in his presence is fullness of joy. David prophesies, says, I'm going to see him face to face, and in his presence is fullness of joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak to you of the patriarch David.
All right. Now, Peter's going to tell them what David's really saying here.
That he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us even unto this day.
So Peter's saying, David's not saying he's the one that did all of this. His bones are right here. No, David is prophesying of the Messiah, the anointed one, Yeshua, Jesus Christ.
30. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne.
The prophet Samuel told David that God says there will always be someone to sit on the throne of David until Shiloh come. The book of Ezekiel says Shiloh. That means until Jesus comes at the second time and takes over the throne forever and ever. Now, do you know that God kept that promise? Do you know there's someone sitting on the throne of David right now? And it's verified in the Bible. Now, David came through the tribe of Judah. But the last king of Judah, Zedekiah, and all of his sons were murdered. And so Jeremiah said, "Oh Lord, what are we going to do? How do we keep the throne of David going?" And he found out that Zedekiah had little daughters. They're called the tender twigs. So Jeremiah, the prophet, took the little daughters into what we call Europe. One of the daughters' name was Scuta, after which Scotland is named. Did you know President Donald Trump's mother, Mary Ann Smith, was born in Scotland and she legally immigrated into America? That's Judah, that's the king line. Look at our president, praise the Lord, look at that. The other daughter's name was Asa, and Queen Elizabeth is a direct descendant of Asa. That's the throne of David right there. But the next one to sit on it will be Jesus. So God kept his promise.
Amen. 31. He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ.
So Peter's saying that David prophesied that Jesus would arise from the dead, and he did.
And his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption.
Okay, he led those people free there on the wrong side, and he didn't stay there. He came back and showed himself in his transfigured body.
32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all eyewitnesses.
We saw him. We have seen him 40 days. He's alive.
33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted.
All right. Jesus sits at the right hand of God. You know what it says? Ever living to make intercession for you. Did you know that Jesus is praying for you? Hallelujah.
And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit.
Peter says he promised us that we receive the promise of the Father. And this great power, this rushing wind, this life, this wind, this life. See, if you don't have the baptism, you're dead. If you have the baptism, you're alive. No Christian wants to be dead. Come alive, be filled. Amen. And he said, this is what's going on here.
He has shed forth this which ye now see and hear.
You can hear it. You can tell a difference. A person can be blind and crippled and old and have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There is an eternal youth and vivaciousness about them. Somebody else can be young and whippersnapper, but their prayers are dead. Their voice is dead. There's no life. The Holy Spirit baptism gives you life. Jesus says, my spirit is life to all those
Amen.
Who find
Amen.
It.
Amen.
34. For David hath not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. 35. Until I make thy foes thy footstool.
David prophesied that when Jesus ascended back to heaven, the Lord, the Father, would say, Son, Lord Jesus, you sit here on our right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. In other words, the enemies are under his foot. But do you know that the enemies of Jesus are your enemies? And if you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have power over all the power of the enemy. You can trample on the devil,
Amen.
But only with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now you're not going to go to sleep till you get it, are you?
Yeah.
Get him.
36. Therefore, that all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ.
Lord is Yahweh, the sacred name of God. Christ is the anointed one, Messiah. But to whom is Peter talking? The house of Israel. Remember, there were 12 tribes of Israel, and they called themselves the 12, the house of Israel. But they had a spat. They split. Two of them changed their names, the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, called themselves the house of Judah. They are elsewhere. But the house of Israel, the 10 tribes to whom Peter is addressing, were captured by Sennacherib the Assyrian, and they migrated into Samaria, which means watchtower. Then they migrated over the Caucasus Mountains and settled Ireland, Scotland, England. They no longer call themselves the house of Israel. They call themselves Ephraim, one of Joseph's two sons. Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, had a spat. And 10 of those tribes broke off across the Atlantic Ocean and founded these United States of America. They set up a cross, our pilgrim fathers did, the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and dedicated this America to the glory of God the Father, his only begotten Son. So Peter says, America, Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
I pray
Amen.
You are blessed.
Amen. Amen.
At this moment, I'm going to introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. What a great timing with the word of the church to bring it back to life.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Well, I think we got some mystery moment questions, right? Mystery to help us understand the mystery of God.
We do. Our first question today, is there an example in the Bible of people who were saved but had not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Absolutely. In Acts chapter 19, the Apostle Paul went to Ephesus and he found some disciples. They loved Jesus. They were saved. He said, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? They said, no, we were just water baptized. So he prayed for them and laid hands on them and they were filled with the Spirit.
Amen. Our next question, Sherry. Why do you say Holy Spirit instead of Holy Ghost?
Okay, I notice in your King James Bible it says ghost. The King James Bible is the best translation you could get, but there are a few errors. Ghost is a mistake. The word there is pneuma, spirit. God's not Casper the Ghost, he's spirit, and God is spirit. There you go. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, David left his stuff in the cart and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Luke 11:13.
Hallelujah. Yeah, ask and you receive.
That's right.
See, that is perfect, Scott. Thank you. How much
more
will the Holy Spirit give the Holy Spirit? Because, see, that's how you live the Christian life. People go through a whole life and they don't even know what you're talking about. And you have no victory. You don't even know when a devil. You can cast out demons by the Holy Spirit. You can raise the dead by the Holy Spirit. Again, it's Jesus. His name is blood. He gets all the glory. And you prophesy. You supernaturally. I always say, if you can't walk on water, take a boat. But why don't you get filled with the Holy Spirit and walk on water?
Amen.
You can, Christian. You can.
Amen.
And you want this. You want to be useful. The only way you're going to be really useful is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you'll get the victory. In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick, but first of all, if any of you are not saved, that's the most important thing. Pray this prayer with me and mean it, and God will save you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive all my sins.
Please forgive all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To lay hands on the sick and they recover.
To lay hands on the sick and they recover.
And to take this word to the world.
And to take this word to the world.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. 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 Now for those of you who are saved then, confession is made into salvation. You want to tell someone, I invite you to tell me. In a few moments, you'll hear my telephone number. I invite you to leave your message that you've been saved on my voicemail. Now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask now that the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in your wings. There is a blockage. There is a blockage. The arteries are blocked. In Jesus' name, let the arteries be open and let the blood flow through. Let there be no blockage anywhere in your body. Not anywhere in your body. Let there be free circulation. In the lower legs, let the circulation return. In the feet, let the circulation come back. Let your feet be like hinds feet. You run and jump for hours because you are free. Perfect circulation, free flowing, the blood of Jesus in you. Praise the Lord. With Jesus' stripes, you're healed. He said his word and healed you. He restores health and cure to you. Praise the Lord. Yahweh Rapha, the God, your healer. Those of you who were healed then, you want to call and tell me that too and leave that message. And praise the Lord. Jesus still heals. Nothing is given you to keep, so all of these beautiful truths go and tell. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your host, Sherry Medlock, saying I love you with all my heart. And I thank you for loving the lover of my soul. No greater love hath this than the Lord Jesus would lay down his life for his friends. And I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the mighty rushing wind of the trumpet
of truth.
Yeah. Woo.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound on WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big.
Calling all Christians who love America, Sherry Medlock of Trumpet of Truth invites you to join her every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. to pray fervently for President Donald Trump and for America. Let us take back our country for Jesus and the Bible. Sherry is in Sun Tree next to the Produce Place at 2565 Sellers Lane in Melbourne. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and may God save America. Once again, that's Wednesday evenings at 6 o'clock, and the place, 2565 Sellers Lane in Melbourne. And join us right here on 91.5 FM WMIE every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for a Trumpet of Truth.
He who was before there was light walked across the pages of time. He who made every living thing, behold him. He who heard humanity's cry, left his throne to wake as a child. He became like the least of us. Behold him. Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the
he who died with sinners and sinners. This is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
Love is a beautiful thing. It takes a heart and lets it sing. Love changes everything. It ends the war that lies within. Oh,
From the